to have a plant up there in the darkness, what has become darkness in Long Island. And so, very, very exciting. So, Nick, come and give us good news, my friend. Welcome
Amen.
Back.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be able to be with you folks again. And thank you so much again for your prayers and for your support for us, financial support as well. We are excited to be able to tell you we do plan on starting the Amazing Grace Baptist Church in May of next year. And we've been in much prayer about that as far as the start date and when we're going to go. And I know we've tallied the time. It's been 3 years since we left here, 3 years since January. And man, where's the time flown by? It is just it is come and gone. But we are excited of what the Lord's doing. We are going to be. We still have some more deputation as far as front of us right now. But our goal is to be able to start in May. We're going to be able to still raise some more support there in the Northeast. There locally, we haven't really targeted that area. So we plan on doing that while the church is going and getting started. So if you want to make plans to come to New York. One amen. All right, good. We got one person that's going to come help us. But we've got a lot of things to get going, a lot of things to plan. We're still going to be on the road at least till February. But to please be in prayer for us specifically, we are looking at a building right now to rent in the Center Moriches area, which is near the Riverhead area that we talked about originally planning the church. The building price is superb for that area as far as prices go, but we don't quite need it just yet. The earliest we could get it would be February, and obviously right now we don't need it. So if it's the Lord's will for us to have it, if He would hold it till us till February, that would be fantastic. But the building is not a storefront, it's an actual building to meet in, so it's very ideal. But we have a lot of things to get going, as you can imagine, signage, things to put together, flyers. We have all that in line. But it's just the process of getting the ball rolling and getting things going. But appreciate your prayers more than anything else, and thank you so much for your support. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Nick. You'll remember that one of the great revivals of the last century in the mid-1800s was in New York, right in the middle of New York City. And so that has not been a gospel desert all the time, but it most certainly is now. And so very exciting to think about that. Well, I have mixed emotions.
I know you're probably sitting out there and you're going, well, why did Matt lead the singing if Brother Ricky can actually talk? I've been coughing all weekend long, so y'all just bear with me. If I get to coughing, I'll step out and let somebody else take over. It's one of those things where it's going great for a little while, and then all of a sudden you hit that fit and you want to just like pass out on the floor. And so if you see me pass out, it's okay. I've probably done it two or three times already this weekend. So y'all just keep praying for me. Now, we've got four different groups that's been to the Wilds on four different weekends. And so we're going to give everybody who's been recently. Now, if you went to the Wilds last year, you already had your chance. You'll have to wait. But we're going to give everybody who's been recently an opportunity, if they want to give a testimony about something that God did for you while you were there, during the time you were there at the Wilds. Now, I can say, because Andrew and I were figuring it up, I think it's 17 or 18 years we've been going with the teens. Now, I can tell you, every time I went, I got something out of it. Even though I didn't go for me, I didn't think. And so I know how it is. I know how God works when you're there. A lot of times He hits you in areas that you weren't even thinking about. Because He's got you off in a different setting, though. He's got you off listening to a different preacher. And He's got things going on in your life that maybe you weren't planning to deal with. And God may have done something in your life. So we're actually going to start with our seniors. Because our seniors went, what was it, Beverly? 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago now? Now, you know, I guess asking the seniors to remember that. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday before the couples went. Okay. Now, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not making fun of memories, because I have the worst memory of anybody in this church. You heard Miss Elizabeth, she knows it too. She knows, she'll tell me something, I'll forget it. Of course, most of the time what she tells me to do is clean my office. But so we're going to start with Beverly. That's all right. Start with you guys. If y'all got some testimony you want to give. Now, you know, I'm not going to force anybody to come up here and give testimony. But what I would like to, we're going to kind of follow this whole guideline for the whole time, because we'll let the seniors, then we'll let our couples, then we'll let our college and career, then we'll let our teens. All right? That would be the last group that went. So if you would, when you come up here, if you would give your name. because there are people in the nursery, and so many of us sound so much alike that they could get us confused. And so be sure you say your name. It's also going on the tape back there so that others that might listen to it later on would know who it was actually giving testimony. So we want to be sure we get everything recorded and everything done. So, starting with our seniors, who will it be?
Betty and I had, I think, mostly an R&R time while we were up there. That's the way I felt about it anyway. We just kind of rested and recuperated from some trials that we've had in recent weeks, and it was just a really good time for us to just get away and get to know one another better and hear some good preaching. It was just a good time for us.
Amen. Amen. How many of y'all went, Beverly? Just you and Betty? She did the speaking for you. She had a good time. Miss Betty said she had a good time too. All right. Well, then we'll move on to our couples, because I know we had several couples that went. And so if any of the couples that went, if y'all would like to get up and give any testimony at this time, please feel free to come forward.
Okay, I'm Wendy Clark, and this was actually our first time to the Wilds, other than just driving the van up last year with luggage for the youth. The whole story around us even being able to go is a miracle. And I won't get into all of it, because if I did, I'd be up here for an hour. But Charles and Teresa Henry prayed us into the Wilds. I mean, literally. And I'm so grateful to them. Teresa called me at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday and said, "Are you packed?" And immediately this wave rushes over me, and I'm wadded up in a closet downstairs crying as I'm talking to her, because we had not been away from the children in, I mean, never. I mean, literally never. The only time that I have been away, I know, since Chris and I remarried, and you all know that story, and that was 12 years ago. The only time that I had been away was to birth a baby. So, needless to say, we really needed this, and I am so grateful that we were able to go. But just to tell you what a miracle it was like every verse of Scripture, every sermon, everything was what the Lord had been working in our lives for weeks before that. I had shared with the ladies on Wednesday night a prayer request, and I had told them that entire day I had sat there reading 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, over and over and over again, because I had realized that if I was going to be a mother that loved my children and loved my husband, that I had to truly love, not what the world says love is, but that I had to truly love. And our first God and I time was those verses. I'm not joking, every single scripture was what the Lord had been working in our heart. And I'm just so grateful for the time. And, of course, we had lots of fun along the way. But I want to read you those verses. I'm going to start with in chapter 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And you guys, if we don't have those characteristics, then we don't love. And I found out that in the very next week, the Lord blessed us again in being able to go to Chris's sister's cabin at no cost for the week. And you know, we went over these verses, the kids and I, before Chris came up over the weekend. And you know, I looked at them and I said, guys, according to these verses, would God look at us and say that we love each other? And they said, no. You know, this is what we need to gauge our love by, not the world's, the way the world looks at it. And then another thing that really stuck out, and I'll let Chris speak. Pastor Tom preached a sermon not long ago about our expectations should come from the Lord. You know, I was expecting everything from everybody around me. I was expecting my children to behave a certain way, for them to do what I wanted them to. I was expecting Chris to do what I expected or be what I expected. But my expectation needs to come from the Lord. And this stuck out to me that goes along with that. If I focus on my rights, it'll lead to rebellion in my heart. If I focus on my biblical responsibilities, meaning as a wife and a mother, it will lead to revival in my heart. And all that just goes right back to love and what we expect from other people. And I was just grateful to the Lord that He allowed us to go. Thank y'all.
She was talking about it, just God working it out for us to go.
Uh-huh.
Friday morning, I got up and Satan had really beat on our family for the last month to the point that none of us could stand any of us. We would all just come home and go to our rooms and stay away from each other. So Friday morning, God laid on my heart Ephesians 4:24-32. But mainly about let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth and the bickering. But the main thing, and when we got there Saturday, that's what the scripture was on. It was exactly what I'd read to him on Friday morning. But I had read it to him, and I'd read, neither give place to the devil. Well, we haven't been giving place to the devil. We have been praying and praying, and Satan stay out of our house. But what I learned Saturday, we never invited God back in to take His place. We was getting the devil out of our house, but we wasn't letting God in. And so it was just amazing. I mean, even Friday morning after I read this, the kids, as soon as we got through reading it, they were back and forth at each other. So I called Mr. Henry because he done told me if there was an opening that we could go. So I called and left Mr. Henry a message. And I said, it's just not going to work out. You know, if they have an opening, please give it to somebody else. There's just no way we can work it out, financially or mentally. So Charles called me at 3 o'clock. I was in Buford, and he said, they've got an opening, y'all are going. And I said, you didn't get my message? He said, no. Or he didn't say it to me till that night after we got there. I said, I left you a message and told we couldn't go. And he said, I didn't get it, so I don't know. If I left one of you a message, that's what it was about. But also, is it all right if I tell this, Charles, what happened to us? I think we represented our church well once we got there on Friday night. We got there late because we had such late notice, and we hung out for a while after the meeting, and it was probably 11 or 11:30. So I take Wendy and Charles and Teresa to the room, and I let them out with the luggage, and I go to park the truck. Well, when I come back, I go to our room, and I'm beating on our room door, and nobody's coming to the door, and I'm thinking, where's everybody at? So I walk over to Charles and Teresa's room, beating on their door. Nobody comes to the door. I'm thinking, where is everybody to go? While I was doing this, they were at the floor below me. Wendy takes her key, opens the door, turns the lights on, gets her luggage, and somebody goes, hello? And she goes into a room with another couple at 11:30 at night. And they had given us the wrong key. So Charles and I go down to the office, and we're standing there, and you see I'm talking with my hands, and I'm going, you gave us the wrong key, and we're in the wrong room, and all of this. So the guy says, I'll find your room, I'll find you. So he gets us a key and gives it to us, and we walk out the door, and Charles said, you think he thought we were the couple that had the wrong room? I said, I don't know. So I think we represented the church well while we were there. And you remember 7 years ago the question you asked me in our living room? How long it took for the romance to come back? About how long it took for the romance to come back? We're still waiting.
Oh, mercy. Oh, mercy. All right. Who was it? Bill, you raised your hand. There, you had some more. Y'all want to come say?
Oh, every time we've gone up there, I've been struck with the familyness of the place. And how relaxed everybody is, both the participants like Betty and me, and as well as the staff up there. And I was drawn, when I was thinking about what I might say, to Matthew 12:46-50. While Jesus yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brothers? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And I was struck with that about the wiles. And I wanted to share something briefly with you that happened a few years ago, because it's so pertinent to this scripture and to what we encounter every time we go up there. There was a couple there, Roy and Faye McLean from Tennessee. And we got to know them because of their interest in history. They were history teachers. And it turns out that in the public school they taught in up there, because they had Christian faculty and a Christian principal, they actually taught the true history to those kids. And I said, well, Roy, how do you do that? He said, every year when there's someone leaving, some teacher leaving, we have a prayer session and we pray for a Christian teacher to come and take that person's place. And it happens. And God keeps it that way. And so there's no complaints. So they're able to do that. Well, we got to know Roy and Faye over several different times up there. And then when we were up there 1 year and Faye's left arm was in a cast, and the part of her hand that you could see was very red. And so we asked about it, and she had cancer. And it was inoperable. And unless the Lord worked a miracle, it was fatal. And but her attitude was so beautiful. And so she, the last time we saw them, we were headed up toward the dining hall, Betty and I, and they had just come out of the conference building there. And I said, see you up there, talking about the dining hall. Faye looked and smiled and said, see you up there, pointing straight up. And I found out since then through Roy that Faye was always interested in being a missionary. She'd love to leave teaching and go to Honduras as a missionary. And Roy just couldn't see turning loose of their lifestyle and everything to do that. Lo and behold, guess where Roy is now? After Faye passed on and he came out of the grieving period, he said he felt this big calling to go to Honduras. He's in Honduras now as a missionary. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Any other couples?
This is Christian Heiss. This is something that the Lord started doing before we went to the wilds. And he, at the wilds, he just confirmed it. But during the tent meeting, we would take Kathy Hoyt, that's Angela's mother, to over there to the place. And one night we got to talking about marriage. And she said, you got to read this book and you got to read that book. And I'm going to buy it for you. I'm going to have them send it to your house. Well, a couple of weeks later, those books arrived, one for women and one for men. And I was more interested in the one for women, I have to say. So I took that one and started it first. And that was like peering into a different world. It was it was very it was very instructive. But among many things that I learned that I had never thought of before, one was that, and I hope I can say this right, that one of the main need for a woman is communication. And if I withhold that from her, that is like she withholding the main need of the man from him. And every man knows what that is, and every woman probably too. And when I read that, it was I was going, really? And that just struck me as very, I hadn't heard that before. And but it made sense from what I've heard and how, you know, my interactions with Becky, and so it made sense. And so I prayed and asked God to help me with that, because I don't naturally am a good conversator. I just, if I don't have something pertinent to say, I just don't have anything to say. It's I don't know what it is. There's an extra twist in my line or something. I don't know. But when I grew up, the way we in our family we spent our free time was we would all sit around in the room and read a book. We wouldn't really talk much to each other. And so when I don't talk to you, it's not that I don't want to talk to you, it's just I don't have anything to say. It's like there's nothing up here. All right. There's just nothing up there. I'm going, okay, what do I say now? And well, anyway, that we went up to the wilds, and that was really one of the main things that I heard anyway. That was, I got to talk to my wife, and please pray for me, because I cannot do that. Not because she's not talkable too, but because I just don't have it in me to do that. But that's all. Thanks.
Amen. Amen. Y'all come over, Charles.
I'm Teresa Henry. Something that happened with Wendy and Chris is Charles was trying to make the arrangements at the Wilds. And, you know, it didn't look like they were going to get to go. Well, I'm a fixer. And they had just had their anniversary. And so I was trying to think of ways that we could do something special for them. And I was thinking, well, we're going to be gone. You know, I could clean the house and set things out for them. And they could kind of come to our house for bed and breakfast. And, I had all these schemes. And I was calling Justin and saying, Justin, you think they'd do that? And I went out to the barn to do milking. We have goats. And I was milking. And the Lord kind of got on to me. He said, you don't trust me to handle this? And it hit me. And I thought, Lord, I'm not depending on you to get for them to go to the wilds. So I repented right there in the barn that night. I said, Lord, please forgive me for trying to do this, even though it was a good thing. I said, Lord, if you want them to have a good weekend, you're going to have to handle it. And I repented. And I wondered if I hadn't that, would they have gone to the wilds? So the Lord taught me a lesson. And then this weekend, one of the things that was said, and we know this, is when we depend on an organization or a pastor or ourselves, we get what they can give. But when we depend on prayer, we get what God can give.
That's right.
And I found that out 2 weeks ago with Wendy and Chris, and then the speaker this weekend made that comment. And I didn't put it together until you were just saying that, and I looked at my notes again. And we got what God could give.
We went this weekend with the teens, as well as 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago? With the couples, and I guess what's most fresh on my mind was this trip with the teens. And the speaker was a very intense speaker. He had the kids' attention, he had my attention too. And this morning he was preaching about Esther, and he was talking about when Esther's moment came, she made the right decision, and she did what she was supposed to do, and she made a difference. And in one of the comments that he made, I'm not sure if it was this morning or another time, but was just the blessedness of being used by God. And Esther was used by God. And at some point in that sermon, I wasn't listening to him anymore. I think I was listening to the Holy Spirit. And what I heard was that the way the Lord wants to use me is in my neighborhood. And last Sunday morning I taught Sunday school, and it was on that same passage that Wendy was talking about. Y'all were at the cabin during that time, but the Lord had me to speak on the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and especially those verses that you read. But he also reminded me of the passage where Jesus said, answered the question, what is the great commandment? And to love the Lord with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so there's the tie-in with the neighborhood. You know, who is my neighbor? Well, I mean, the obvious thing is my neighborhood. And so the Lord impressed on me to make an effort to get to know my neighbors. You know, a lot of people used to know their neighbors, and anymore we don't know our neighbors. And so I want to get to know my neighbors, and I want them to know my Lord.
Amen. Were there any other couples? It's kind of strange, Becky. You didn't come up with your husband. Now you get.
That's why I love him. I'm Becky Heiss. I just want to. The Lord's been really speaking to me this month about Thanksgiving, but I just want to read this one verse. It's in 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he had counted me faithful, putting me into his ministry. I say that with a grateful heart because my heritage is not a Christian heritage. And he pulled me out. I mean, he just had so much grace on me that he said, okay, I'll have to take you. And now my family is getting saved. So I just want to thank him for that.
Amen. Amen. Any others? If not, we'll move on to the college and career. They were there last weekend. Several of them have made mention about giving some testimony tonight. So if any of you would like to give testimony, come on forward. Come on, Allie.
We had a great weekend last weekend. Always when you go up there and you're surrounded by just the beautiful scenery and just especially with the college and career people, it's different than the teen weekend. There's people that, you know, want to be there and want to learn about God. So it's just very refreshing to be around people that are going through the same thing you are with school and work. And we had a lot of in-depth conversations about witnessing and just living for God and how hard it is in our society. But so that was just a real blessing to me. And Brother Carey was our speaker. And sometimes when we go up there, the speaker's, you know, he's preaching from the Word and it's good, but we don't really get much out of it. But this time, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I really did. He spoke a lot about the congregation having unity. And but one session that really stuck out to me is when he was preaching and he was giving us an outline that he wrote for his daughter when she was having trouble with lying. And it's something that God gave him for her. And then when it was time for our God and I time, and for those of you that have been up there, that's the devotional that they have for you after one of the sessions. And he gave us this outline of that he gave his daughter, but he left blanks for us to fill in what we've been struggling with. And I've been having a really hard time with a friend of mine that's fallen away from God. And that's a really hard thing to see, but it doesn't justify the bitterness that I built up in myself. And I've never had in a very long time such a sweet time in God's Word. And he told us to look in Colossians 3, and I read over it before I went through the outline. He just, there's a few verses that really stuck out to me, so I circled them. And when I went back through the outline, pretty much in order, point by point, the verses that he gave me went along with it. And the first point is what's true about God. And God showed me that, you know, he's my friend and he's faithful to me. And the next one is what's true about me. And what's true about me is that I know that I have bitterness and that I have to rely on God to get rid of that. I can't do that myself. And then what's true about Jesus Christ is he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he's the only thing that I need. And then the last one was, well, there's what's true about that, and there's what's true, how should I respond? And there's lots of points under that, but the main thing was staying in his Word. And since last weekend, I've just had lots of just great times in his Word every morning. And I just want you to pray for me that wouldn't stop. And I really want, it's still a process getting rid of the bitterness and just relying on God and praying for people other than just being selfish and building up all that hurt. But I really want that to stop, but I don't want these times in God's Word to stop. So if you would just pray for me, I would really appreciate it.
Others?
Hey, I'm Noelle. This year at the Wilds was amazing, like it always is. And the speaker, his sermons were centered around, his topic was like a Christ-centered relationship. And it's like, do you put God first in your life? And I realized that I didn't. And that ever since I started school, I've been putting, like, God's been, like, at the bottom of the list. I'm like, all right, no, I got to get home. I got to study. I got to do these homework and everything. And then Christ has just been pushed further and further down my list of priorities. And I just realized that I had grown away from him because I don't get up in the morning and read my Bible like I used to because I feel like I'm rushed and everything. And I said, y'all just praise. Please pray for me that I'll depend on him and grow closer to Him. And also some people that we met up there, they were talking, we were all sitting around and we were talking, and they were saying how at school they were trying to witness to people, and they were talking, and this girl like debates with people in her class about how, you know, God is real and how all this stuff, and she's like, I'm the only one that does it. I'm standing there like by myself. And I just realized, I was like, I don't do that at all. I was like, how does she do that? And I just asked that y'all pray that God will use me in that way and shine through me, like, and give me the boldness like she has and all that. Thank you.
Amen. Any others? Then we'll move to our teens. Come on, Lindsay.
Hey, this is Lindsay, and this week at the Wilds was a really, really spiritual weekend for me, and it helped me in a lot of things, but some of the things that helped me the most is that he talked about just about the 16-year-old girl who at her school, there was this one boy named James, and she would tell him, like, you need to come to church with me. So the first time he said, okay, I'll go. They came back, and he didn't really like it. But she asked him again, and he said, no, I don't want to go this time. It's not my thing, type thing. And so she kept asking him and asking him over and over again. And finally, he had enough of it. He said, okay, fine, I'll go. And when he went, they had a new youth pastor there, and they played basketball, and he liked basketball and stuff. So he became friends with them, and he started to come to church more and more and more. And one time they were at Wendy's after a game that they had done, and he was talking to him, and he said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? And he said, no, I don't. So he came and became saved that night. And he joined this basketball team that would kind of tell people about Jesus. And later on, his coach said, how many people have you led to the Lord? He said, I don't know. And he said, oh, come on, I just really want to know. So he told him, he said, over 100. And the guy who preached said, if it wasn't for that little 16-year-old girl, maybe 100 people could have gone to hell. And I was thinking, wow, if I could just tell people to go to church, I could be saving 100 people or leading them to Christ. I can't save them. God can. And another thing is the attitude of just get over it. And I'll tell you what that is. It's when someone does something to you and you really don't like it and you feel really bitter, you just need to let it go and tell them, I forgive you. And they said that there's this lady in the war, or her husband was in the war, and he got shot. And she came to the people that shot him, and she said, I forgive you. They were about to kill her. She said, I forgive you. You know why? Because I have Jesus. And a bunch of them got saved too. So just pray for me that I can do the same thing and lead people to Christ.
Amen. Amen. Boldness. Others?
Hi, I'm Josie. This whole weekend was just really, really good. I really liked the preacher. One of the things that he talked about and really spoke to me was having victory over sin. And, I mean, I've heard it before, but, I mean, just this time it just really clicked. It's like, real. He used this one thing that sin has no right to control you. And that just really, really helped. Another thing he talked about was making your moment count, which means like really just living your life for God. And I mean, if he used like this one verse in Esther that she says, if I perish, I perish. So it's like, well, if you get embarrassed, you get embarrassed. If someone makes fun of you, they make fun of you. You shouldn't really worry about it. You're doing it for God. And it was just, and then one time he just talked about God really using you, and I just, that really spoke to me. I really just want God to use me in many ways.
Any others? Come on, Tony.
All right, so y'all know I'm Tony. And I was going to say, many things this weekend spoke to me and all like that. I'm probably going to get my days confused because I'm kind of tired. But our speaker was Mr. Mike Washer, and my counselor was Ms. Carrie Cummings. And to me, Mr. Mike's messages all kind of tied in together, or at least what I learned from him. And as a lot of you know, I requested prayer for my friend Sabrina at school, who, you know, is not saved and all like that. And his message started Friday with about salvation and how to be a better witness and all like that. And so I went back and I talked with my counselor about it. And she told me that in order for Sabrina to understand what I mean and what I want, that I have to learn humility, and also that I have to learn to know my God more. And that kind of challenged me that I have to dig into the Word because, I can't answer her questions if I don't know the answers myself. And so that helped a lot with that one. And then the other big thing that I learned was in our devotions, I think it was Saturday night, we got to talk about why we shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain and all like that. And normally I'm just like, I don't do that or whatever. But then she explained that taking his name in vain is just saying it without meaning it. And, she even said that in the song service at church and all like that, if we're singing words about God, but our mind is somewhere else, we're taking his name in vain because we're not actually meaning the words that we're saying about him. We're not dwelling on them and focusing on them. And this really challenged me too, but I was just going to ask that you would pray for me, that I'd be able to be a better witness for Sabrina, and that I'd be able to get in the scripture more, and also that I'd be able to dwell on the Lord more. And so thank you.
Hi, I'm Annabeth, and I just want to say I was excited about the Wilds not because of the sermons, but because, how fun it is and stuff, and I was concentrating on that, and I wasn't really concentrating on how the sermons would be and wanting them to speak into my heart. I just wanted to have fun, and that God changed my heart because the sermons was the best part of my weekend, and I got something out of every service, and I just want to praise God for that.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm Josiah, and this was my first year coming to the Wilds. It was really fun, but the sermons were really good too, and God spoke to me a lot, but what stood out to me is the one about Esther, and she said, if I perish, I perish. And I haven't really told anybody about Jesus because I was scared I'd mess up or something. And so if y'all just pray for me that I would have courage to tell others about Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Others? Come on, darling.
Hey, my name's Ansley, and when I went to the Wilds, I was really excited, but I was. Sometimes I get a little scared about things, but I do pray to God to help me not to get scared. And so, sometimes when I'm too busy around things and I can't finish it all really right, like schoolwork and all that stuff, I sometimes don't read my Bible very much. And I just want y'all to pray for me that I will have, that I will finish everything I can do, and that I'll have courage to, hopefully I'll tell anyone about Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Others. We're not in any hurry. Come on up.
On Saturday for all three services, speaker asked, "Do you believe God is good?" And he asked, "Do you believe God's plan is best for your life?" God challenged me that I need to submit everything to Him every day. He also challenged me that I need to be telling others about Him, because time's running out.
Amen. Amen. Others?
Hey, my name is Dylan. Most of y'all know me, but one thing that really stood out to me, I think it was this morning, he spoke of this thing where a woman was attacked on three separate occasions in Queens, I think it was, and how 38 people watched it, but from their windows, and they could see it fine, and they could tell all the details about it, and all of them had the same story, but not a single one bothered to go tell somebody else or call the cops or go outside and do anything about it. And then he spoke of this experiment that scientists conducted, and they came to a conclusion called the bystander problem, that that if everybody sees it, then automatically to them, somebody else is going to take care of it, then it's not wrong. That I think that mainly and a lot of times applies to Christians, because we'll see something and like, okay, there's other Christians here. They see it. They're not going to do anything about it, so I'm not going to. It's got to be okay. There's nothing wrong with it. And I kind of came to the conclusion that I have a lot of Christian friends at school, and I talk to them a lot. But if they say, they'll say something like about a problem, but they won't really do anything about it, so I won't either. And what I'm trying to get to is that y'all would pray for me that I wouldn't fall to Satan's trap, saying it's okay because nobody else is taking care of it. That I would make my moment count, like the speaker said, that I would step to the plate and do something about it. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Others? Comes one of our older teenagers. She's not the oldest one, though.
Probably the oldest and the shortest. well, like Teresa said, talked about being a fixer. I'm a fixer also, but I'm also worse than a fixer. I'm a controller. And God's been working on me about that for about a year and a half now. And He did it again this weekend. There was just a few things that had happened before this weekend that I was trying to fix or control or whatever, and it wasn't going very well. And I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go Friday. I was just like, I didn't want to go. I couldn't even think to pack. I didn't even know if I had anything when I got up there or not that I was supposed to have, because I couldn't think. And it was like God just kept saying, just let me handle it, Andrew. Give it to me. It'll be all right. And I finally did. I finally swapped my bathroom and said, God, I can't do this. I don't want to go. I can't do this. You're going to have to do it. Anyway, and he just really showed me this weekend how God, he worked out several things. One of the things that I was concerned about, he just worked it all out. It was all fine. There's no problems with it. He worked out something else, a situation with a girl that if Teresa Henry hadn't have been there, some things wouldn't have worked out the way it did. I mean, he just showed me that, as usual, that, you know, I'm not in control anyway. I can't do anything anyway. He's the one in control. If I would just let it all go and let him have it, he'll work it out just fine. And so it's the main thing I got out of it. And then I just saw God really work in our teens this weekend, which always does my heart good, as I know it does everyone's. The speaker was really good, and the messages he had, I got convicted on every one of them also. And I just want to thank everybody that sponsored and the Henrys for going with us.
Amen. Amen. Any others? I think one of the things that has really stood out among all the testimonies with all four groups is the urgency that we have for the lost now. But also prayer and the way we deal with it in our lives. And it's interesting because God's had me really in that area over the last few weeks. And I'll have to say that God showed me something in His Word that's been there forever that really worked in my life this week. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of John. John chapter 2, you'll see that most of your Bibles may even have it listed this way, the first miracle that Jesus worked here in John chapter 2. Some of us as parents probably think it was probably a book earlier when it said that Jesus became subject to His parents and He actually went back with them and obeyed them. Some of us think that was probably the first miracle. But since Jesus' life was a whole lot different than our teenagers, I think we can all agree here that this is the first miracle. So if you would, read with me in chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, They have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 to 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And He said unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the wine that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him." I'd like to just very quickly give you just the points of an outline. Because as we look at the life of Mary right here, and we see that she is involved, just obviously involved in this wedding feast. She is a part of it. Because it was a concern to her that they were out of wine. Now, it could have been a concern to her because these could have been close friends of the family. If you think back about the culture of that time, a lot of times the families would be very close in a community, and
a big wedding like this would involve a lot of the community. And we can see that Jesus was called to the wedding, so he wasn't a recluse. He wasn't, you know, trying to stay away from all the normal activities that were going on in the community. And Jesus was there, and his mother was there, and there was a problem. Because the problem of the feast that had come up was there was no wine. Well, in that culture, again, we have to remember that that could have been a source of great embarrassment to the family who was there. It could have been a source of financial difficulty for the family themselves because they had not properly prepared for this marriage feast. One of the reasons that the bridegroom goes away and prepares, he's not only preparing for his life with his wife to come, but he's preparing for this time also. And so for him to have run out of something at the wedding would have given the indication that perhaps he wasn't properly prepared for the marriage. But what we see here is Mary not afraid to go to Jesus with a small problem. She acted just as if Jesus should be concerned. Now, Mary had been Jesus' mother. She had seen him growing up. Jesus would have been about 30 years old at this time. So she had seen his compassion toward others. She had seen his love toward others. And so she knew when there was an issue that was concerning this family that could have been an embarrassment, she was not afraid to go immediately to Jesus. And she came to him with a very small request, something that really, really would have made no difference to her, but for others. And she came and she said, simply, they're out of wine. Now, the thing that followed this shows her faith. Because as she came to him and she said, hey, they're out of wine, she was trusting that Jesus would just do the right thing. She had no... She gave no indication of how she wanted Jesus to answer. You know, our own prayer life, and this is where God has really hit me. In my prayer life, so many times I work out the problem. And then I go to God. Say, God, this is how you need to fix this problem. I've already got it worked out. If you'll do it this way, it'll work perfect. Now we smile, but we do that. When Mary went to Jesus, she had no expectation of how he would answer. She left it with him and said, they're out of wine. And she turned in faith to those servants. And she says, whatever he says, do it. She gave no indication of what she wanted him to do. She left it at his feet and said, Lord, you take care of it. She would have been just as happy if Jesus had turned to the servants and said, here's $20, go to town. Buy them some more. I don't know. Because she was willing to accept whatever he did. Whether it was to provide more wine or not. Many occasions we have our prayers already worked out. We just want God to join us. Her faith was so strong, she turned around and put all of her confidence in what he would do. She didn't care what the servants thought about her. Because she turned to them and said, whatever he says do, do it. Now these servants who were there, they looked and Jesus looked at them and said, fill the water pots. Well, now, they could have very simply turned around and laughed at each other, fill the water pots. Yeah, okay, right. But their actions were on Mary's faith and in her confidence. She turned to them and said, do what he says do, He said, fill the water pots. They filled the water pots. Now, these water pots that were out there, these were probably more of a ceremonial thing. The Jews were very, very proper in hand cleansing and making sure everything was clean. And these would have been stone pots. They weren't earthen pots that would absorb water and could absorb bacteria. And I mean, these were stone. They would hold plenty of water. Said they held, what was it, how many firkins apiece, which ends up being about 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And he said, fill them up. And they filled them to the brim, not knowing at all what Jesus was about to do. In obedience, they went forth. Now, folks, sometimes I'll tell you, I'll set my prayers, I'll know what I want, I'll have it made for God to answer it in my way, and I'll just wait for Him to do it my way. And many times I don't see that blessing come that way. But yet, if I would be more like these servants and say, Lord, You said do it this way, okay, I'm going to fill the water pots. And I'm not just going to fill them. I'm going to fill them to the very top. It said that they filled them to the rim or to the brim. Meaning they wouldn't have held one more drop without pouring over the side. They had put everything they could into what Jesus was preparing. Then, they put themselves on the line, just as Mary had, when Jesus said, now draw from that and give it to the governor of the feast. They knew what was in the water pot. They had just filled them to the brim with water. But at His word, they were willing to go forth. Just as Mary had put her confidence in Him, they had seen that confidence and said, He said do it, she said do what He said do, we're going to do it. Drew it out, carried it to the governor of the feast. And as the governor of the feast tasted it, he made that comment. You know, most people would bring out all the good stuff first. And then at the end, after everybody's had plenty to drink, and basically what he said here, pretty much after everybody's got pretty well drunk, then they'll bring out the cheap stuff to continue the party atmosphere. But he said, but you've saved the best until now. When we take Jesus at His word, when we say, Lord, no matter how small this request is, no matter what I think, I'm surrendering my will to Your will. I want You to answer this prayer in Your way, in Your time. Jesus has just proven right here that He will answer it better than we could ever imagine. Sweeter, tastier, in abundance. If we'll only let Him do it. If we'll only allow Him to answer prayer in His way, in His time, His doing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand to our feet.